Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. One of the great joys we have in life is to be lifelong learners. I'm going to ask God why he gave young people youthfulness and not we old people. Because by the time you get through life towards the end, you know a lot more that you wish you'd known when you got started. So we get together, and I'm so glad to welcome you once again. And we try to deal with real life-related subjects. And that's why our subject right now is how do you recover from destruction that comes from anger. And anger is, in fact, here. It's everywhere. In fact, I'm not sure there's ever been a culture which is bound to anger so much as this one. And it's like a weight around everybody's life, and it controls, it manipulates, it damages, and people get so aggravated. And the consequence of that is that we live life out of control. And in fact, this is in fact where crimes are birthed. Anger, anger, anger. And it happens at all levels, including executive levels. And it happens in school systems. It happens in the playground. It happens everywhere. And people are just angry. And it happens regardless of gender. It's not just guys, although it's guys a lot. But anger is an uncontrollable thing in a lot of cases. Damages marriages, destroys. In fact, one of the strange things, we'll probably talk about this later, is this fact that anger can never correct another person. A child will never be corrected if the rod of correction is anger. Because anger is read by the child, not the constructive learning situation at all. All they read is not the advice. They do not read the correction. They read the anger. And it does something deep and damaging inside of them. So here we go with the subject of how to recover from the destruction that comes of anger. So let's start with the definition of anger. First of all, it's a strong feeling of displeasure. It's a strong feeling of dissatisfaction or annoyance. And generally, it's combined with an antagonism or a hostility towards a particular person, cause, or object. So it really is damaging. In fact, it's the state of experience of such feelings as wrath, which is acts done in vengeance, rage, and fury. And this comes from the Oxford English Dictionary. Well, in the meantime, I thought I should add to my own dictionary. And so here's my take on anger. It is a strong negative emotion in reaction to something or someone interfering with a perceived personal benefit. Now, I know this may seem wordy, but I want to help you get through to the essence of what I'm trying to get to. It's a strong negative emotion, and it's usually a reaction to someone or something that is interfering with a perceived personal benefit. And I want to talk about this word perceived, because perceived doesn't mean it's a reality. It's just the way we see things. It means to interpret or look upon a thing, a person, or a situation in a particular way, and to believe something that's really hidden and not manifest or immediately obvious. We don't know really the facts. So I want to go back to this definition and understand this. It is a strong negative emotion in reaction to something or someone interfering with it. Now, why says a perceived personal benefit? They're interrupting something I think in my agenda that's so important. And so that's why I react with such a strong negative emotion. So let's take a look at the scripture. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in a man that walketh to direct his own steps. Now here's the problem. We think we know it all. We think that if something is interfering with our perceived personal benefit, that it's negative, bad, needs to be condemned, anger needs to be manifested towards it, when in fact, that's only a perception. Maybe the guy who cut you off driving and made you take a different route or slow down or circumvent the situation, maybe he saved you from an accident. You see, we tend to interpret everything in life in view of our perceived personal benefit. But we don't know everything that's in our personal benefit. That's why the scripture says, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man to direct his steps. Look at the scripture. Man's goings are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? So we think somebody is really doing us bad because we think they are interfering with our perceived personal benefit, which may not be true. It's a perception. And because we have that perception, we thus have this strong negative emotion because we think something is interfering with us. But in fact, it may not be, because we don't know all the facts. Check the scripture. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now here is a vital truth. It may not apply to everybody, and it ought to apply to you. That God is in control because you have given your life to him, so to speak. In fact, literally. And you're under his management. And if somebody does something to you and it's perceived to be against your personal benefit, it may not be. How do we know that's to be true? In fact, let's go back to that verse and look at a translation. The stalwart walks in step with God. His path blazed by God. He's happy. If he stumbles, he's not down for long because God has a grip on his hand. Here's what I want you to grasp more than anything else, is that if we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, well, watch this, we should, look at this, lean not unto your own understanding. Don't think that this thing that was said, done against your perceived personal benefit, don't lean on that understanding, because it's going to cause a strong negative reaction. In fact, look at the rest of the scripture. In all your ways, every single way, acknowledge him. So when somebody seems to have interfered with your personal benefit, don't sweat it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And guess what? You're okay. He shall direct your path. Now, watch the warning that comes next. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think you know it all, because if you think you do, and you think that something that was said or done towards you was going to hurt or damage your perceived personal benefit, then you're going to have a wrong reaction. So that's why, don't be wise in your own eyes. Instead, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, probably a landmark verse in the Bible, if you're a genuine follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then this verse applies to you. So what's it? You remember the story of Joseph? And here's how it ends. Remember, his brothers threw him in a pit, and then they sold him as a slave, and long story short. And years later, they end up in front of him, and he's in charge, and they're not. And this is what he says. What you did to me, you meant for evil, but God meant it for good. Yep, you lied about me. You tore my clothes. You threw me in a pit. You sold me into slavery. And you were trying to do evil to me. You see, that was what I would say a perceived personal benefit being interfered with by his brothers. But he didn't take it like that. He trusted God. And so he rises to the second most powerful position in Egypt. And because of the famine, Israel, the brothers are all showing up there to get help. And here they are, unbeknownst to them, in front of their brother that they betrayed. And he says to them, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Now, I want to go back, as I promised you, to that landmark scripture. This is so important. Watch it with me. And we know that, look at this now, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Everything is working for my good. So my perception of being interfered with, my personal benefit being interfered with, is not true. Because even when somebody says or does something against us, as in the case of Joseph, there's a God in heaven who superintends it all. And he is able to make what others mean for evil to turn it into good. Let's check another translation of this. J.B. Phillips, one of my favorite. "We know that to those who love God, who are called according to his plan, everything that happens fits into a pattern for the good." Now, this is a truth that ought to absolutely grip your life and mine. Because if you know this to be true, then you don't have a perception of your personal benefits being interfered with, because everything's working together for your good. You cannot lose for winning. Remember, if God be for us, who could be against us? If this scripture, if you will allow this scripture, if you'll meditate, get this thing inside you till you see it till you believe it till you live it, you'll never have an anger problem. Because no matter what's coming your way, you plus God are big enough to handle it. Anger, on the other hand, is Satan's counterfeit response that takes the place of God's response in our life. Because he intends to make everything bad work out for our good. Now, I got to clue you in at front here that there are, in fact, two different categories of anger. So let's take a quick look at the two categories of anger. Number one, here's what the scripture says. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath or your reactions. And don't give place to the devil, right? Now watch. You need to understand this. Anger plus sin causes wrath. Anger causes people to react the wrong way, and wrath is an attempt to pay back, to get even, either talk behind their back or talk back or fight back or... And watch it, because when we do this, we give place for Satan. Escalation is about to take place, because the first kind of anger is when we respond the wrong way to anger with something sinful. I'm going to show you what those things are in a moment. We get wrath or reaction, and it gives a place for Satan. So let's take a look at Scripture. "So, my beloved brethren," aren't you just happy the way God addresses you, beloved brothers? "Let every man be," now here's, watch this, it's kind of key, "be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to react." Calm down. Cool your jets. Be swift to hear. Not to speak. Be slow to react to what you hear. Now watch, because the scripture is about to give you the reason why. For the wrath of man, or the reaction that we have to what people say or do against us, does not produce the righteousness of God. It produces a negative consequence all the time, every time. So anger plus sin is one category of anger. Is anger with sin creates wrath, which creates a place for Satan. So comes the scripture, and it continues by saying, so here's what you should do. Lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, okay, and instead receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Save your soul. What is that? Your soul. You know where your spirit is. Heart, right? Spirit. You know what your body is. The soul is your mind and your emotion. And so God wants you to save your mind. He doesn't want you to get angry and out of control. So watch again now. Here is the first kind of anger. Anger plus sin equals wrath equals a place for Satan. Now I want to show you the second kind of anger. It's anger without sin that produces what we call righteous anger or righteous indignation. You've probably heard that term, right? In other words, it's possible to have a right response to anger instead of a wrong one. And these, in fact, are the two different choices. Now, here's what I intend to spend this time with you. Today, in this teaching, I want to talk about the first kind of anger, the one that's so destructive. And then the next time we're together, we're going to teach on the good kind of anger, the righteous kind of indignation, and how that can happen in your life. So here we go. We're going to talk about recovering from anger, and there's things we need to understand about the destruction of the wrong kind of anger. Number one, it is a major destroyer of relationships. And this doesn't need a scripture. It doesn't need an illustration. Is there anybody who doesn't know that? It causes escalation between any two people or more people. Anger destroys relationships. And then anger is not easy to recover from. It's very difficult. Take a look at the scripture. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. Now watch this. In other words, embedded in anger and wrath is a self-punishment. It's a personally damaging thing. Now watch it. Because it's difficult to deliver to help a person get over this. And yet we do have them and we do need them. Anger resolution courses, but the question is, do they work? Now watch this. It's difficult. A man of great wrath shall suffer personal punishment. Watch. For if you deliver him, you're going to have to do it again. Because it's not easy to get over it. If you deliver him, if you can help him get over an anger or two angers or three, watch out. You got to keep on doing it because recovery is so difficult. And that's why what we're going to find in scriptures in the next moments are so important. So make sure we understand this, because a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. What is wrath? It's an act done in retaliation, because anger makes us do back to others what they have. We think they should be punished for. So watch this now, because if you can deliver him, you have to keep doing it, because anger is the most difficult thing to get over. So here's the advisement of Scripture. Hear counsel. Oh, let me stop there for a moment. Hear counsel. Where you get counsel is really important. Remember Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's not going to work. Most people have no idea. Unless they know God and know him well, They have no idea how to get rid of anger. And that's, you know, that's one of the things. Yeah, I swear, one of these days I'm going to write a book on 10,000 things I like about God, love about God, because, I mean, they seem to be without number. You remember that famous scripture often quoted at Christmas time, but unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, but guess what's next? Counselor. Ah, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government, and of his peace there shall be no end. He's called the Counselor. If you want to recover from any issue in life, best, let's go back to the scripture, hear counsel from the right person, Jesus himself. Hear counsel and receive his instruction so that you can be wise in your latter end. So watch this now. There are a lot of devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, watch this now. It is the counsel of the Lord, now watch this, that shall stand. It's the only kind of counsel that can get you out of trouble. Why is that true? Because the Creator understands the creation. Nobody is smarter than him. He knows what, he understands our frame. He knows that we are but dust, Job said. He knows the path that we take. So watch this again. It is the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Any advisement about anger is probably cover-up unless they get the counsel of the Lord. For the desire of man, now watch this, because watch, this is really important. We learn a principle in Scripture, and here's what it is. You overcome evil by doing good. You can't overcome evil by doing more evil. So, in God's recovery system, and a person who receives the counsel of the Lord, how does he, instead of being angry, what does he become? He becomes kind. A great replacement for anger. And watch. Because it is the kindness of man that makes him desirable. Yo, want to win that lady? Best thing to do is be kind. All right, let's learn some more about anger. Let's learn that anger is contagious. Anger is contagious. And that's why the counsel of the Lord says this. Make zero friendship with an angry man. And don't even hang around at all with a furious man. With a furious man, thou shalt not go. Because here's what happens. Because it's contagious. Because lest thou learn his ways, and if you do, you'll get a snare. You'll get a snare to your soul. What is that? Your mind. Your way of thinking. Your emotions. Because, you see, anger is contagious. Dad, be careful. Mom, be careful. An angry father will always produce an angry son or an angry daughter. Because the relationship between parent and child is so close, so intimate. So if the parents are angry people, you can probably count on the fact that the children will become angry too. And we're going to learn how to deal with that later on. But let's move on from the fact that anger is contagious to understand that anger is cumulative. Ooh. That means it builds up worse and worse all the time. Look at Scripture. Don't be hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Watch it now. For anger rests in the bosom of fools. It rests there. Whoa. Translation, Amplified Bible. Do not be quick in spirit to be angry or vexed, for anger and vexation lodge They lodge in the bosom of fools. They get, become a part of a person. Let me see if I can illustrate this. So I've blurred this person out of identification. But here's what happens. When a person gets angry, they get some anger, and it sits in their bosom. It sits in their basic, their heart. And what happens? Watch it now. Something else ticks them off, and it gets them more anger, and it starts to add up. And it adds up because it accumulates. It's there, more anger on top of it, more anger on top of that. And then you know what happens? You might be the misfortunate person to tick them off with some little thing. Huh? Some little thing. But what happens? Watch the screen. But this anger comes out of here. Big time blast. What's happening? Because the anger manifested does not match the seriousness of the provocation. It's bigger, it's better, it's like there was just a spark and now a blow up. Why? Because like the scripture says, that anger rests in the bosom of a fool. So this guy's got anger. Watch what happens to him though. And it builds up and it builds up and it builds up and then there's bloodshed. Because anger is accumulative. And watch this now. It rests in the bosom of fools. Fools. Now that's a big subject. And I don't have time this time. But what I want to recommend to you is that you go to our website, nothingbutthetruth.org. And you'll find there a two-part teaching on how to wisely deal with fools, because you're going to run into a lot of them. And responding the right way to fools is really important. You need to learn another video that's there is how do fools think. You need to understand what you're up against when you're dealing with a fool. But remember this, that anger is accumulative. Don't be hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Let's look at a translation of that. Don't be quick to fly off the handle. Anger boomerangs. You can spot a fool by the lumps on his head. Watch out, because anger is cumulative. So let's learn this. Anger causes trouble. Got it? It causes strife, and this causes contention. It's going to make trouble. Look at this. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger knows how to quench, knows how to calm people down and appease strife. Translation Amplified, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger appeases contention. Let's look at another translation. Blessed, I love this. Blessed are the peacemakers. They're the children of God. Because you know, they know how to calm people down. Because anger, in contrast to a peacemaker, is a troublemaker. Now, anger can only be conquered by what we call the control of your own spirit. I almost want to slow down because we cover so many scriptures. Every single one of them is so important. I kind of like to just zoom in. I want to leave it for 10 minutes with you and then get to another one, but we don't have that much time. But look at this. He that is slow to anger. Why is this? He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Look at this. And he that ruleth his spirit is better than he that takes a whole city. I don't know who said this. Somebody said, if you want to rule a nation, you must first learn to rule a state. And if you want to rule a state, you must first learn to rule a county. And if you want to rule a county, you must first learn to rule a city. And if you want to rule a city, you must first learn to rule yourself. Isn't this a phenomenal concept? You've got to grasp this. He that is slow to anger is better than mighty, and he that rules his spirit is better than he that taketh a city. Look one more verse. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. No walls. Now, you know that in ancient times, all cities were walled. And you had to come through the gate. It controlled who came in, who goes out, imports and exports. And the government was sitting right at the gates, the place of control. Enemies couldn't get through, because on the walls, that's where they fought the battles, the people trying to break down the walls. But watch the scripture now. Because he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And now the enemy can come in because there's no wall. Don't have to go through a gate because there's no wall. We become vulnerable. We become victims unless we rule our own spirit. So, let's go back to this. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Okay. Now, anger motivated by iniquity, which is, what is that? Got a whole book on that. I should have put an advertisement up for it. It's now called How You See Yourself. It's an entire book on iniquity. You probably won't find anything else on iniquity. I was with a group of pastors just a week or so ago. And we were just having a discussion, and I quoted a couple of scriptures from the New Testament. This one. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So I said to the pastor, have you done that? He didn't know what to say. So then I quoted another one from the book of Acts where it says that God raised up his son Jesus to bless us in delivering every one of us from our iniquities. Pastor, do you know what iniquity is? I wasn't trying to embarrass him. And that's why I only talked to him this way, because it was just he and I in the conversation, nobody, no onlookers. You ought to be shocked that there is this dearth in modern evangelicalism even. Nobody even knows what iniquity is. And yet it's one of the four reasons Jesus went to the cross. He was bruised for our iniquities. It's our narcissism. Now watch this. He that soweth narcissism, he's not going to succeed. He's going to reap vanity. Now watch this. And the rod of his anger shall fail. The rod of his anger shall fail. That leads us to what we need to understand from the same scripture. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. Discipline from an angry person will not correct anybody. That's why, I think it was moments ago, I showed you this diagram. The rod of his anger shall fail. You cannot correct people because they read their anger and not their instruction. Whew. What damage is done? Now, before we get to the conclusion, we're almost there. We need to understand that is anger that produces health problems. And it produces health problems both to the one who is angry and to those who are affected by anger. So, I made a short list, and I'm going to put it up all there at once. You can copy it if you wish, but you can find this on anywhere on the internet. What are the consequences of anger? Heart disease, ulterior sclerosis, hypertension, kidney disorders, damage, depression, insomnia, eczema, heart attack, stroke. I mean, it on and on it goes. We have physical health problems because we have a spiritual, mental, emotional issue called anger. So here's a great place for us almost to hang our hat today. It is the understanding that anger absolutely must be resolved. Not just for health reasons, but for all the reasons we've just listed. So comes now the scripture and look at what it says. Instead of anger, let no communication that's corrupted, no corrupt communication, even come out of your mouth. Oh, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Watch it now. Instead, only that which is good to the use of edifying. No corrupt communication. Don't ever say any corrupting thing to another person. Only that which is good for them. For the use of edifying means to build up, to make them encouraged, to make them better. Only that which is encouraging. That it may minister grace unto the hearer. That's how we should react, even under the provocation that comes from angry people towards us. We don't do back to them what they do to us. We have learned, haven't we now? Return good for evil? Really? I hope we have. It's one of the basics. Love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that do evil to you. Oh my goodness. So we don't let any corrupt communication come out of our mouth, but only that which is good to the building up of the hearer, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Embedded in the middle of this portion, as you'll see, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're called unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Spirit. How do you grieve the Spirit? Let's go back. Corrupt communication grieves the Spirit. Prevents God from doing what He wants to do in that other person's life through you. Anger must be terminated. It must be resolved. And so goes the scripture. I want you to not miss this word all. Let all bitterness and all wrath and all anger and all clamor and all evil speaking and let them be put away from you with all malice. Get rid of all this stuff. Anger must be terminated. And so we got to get not rid of some of it. We have to get rid of it all. All bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor. And watch this. And be kind one to another. This is what replaces anger. We return good for evil. Somebody says or does. What? What do we do? No anger, no wrath, no doing back to them what they did to us. Instead, be kind. Be kind. This person who provoked you needs help. They need a constructive response, not another destructive. They're already destroyed. They're already in bad shape. And so the scripture says, be kind to them. Be tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Just like God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, here's what I want to conclude with today. We've got so much yet to cover. I don't want you to miss our next session together, but for today, I want us to conclude with three tips. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. How you can protect yourself from the anger of others. How can you protect yourself from the anger of others? I want to give you three steps. The first one is to regulate what comes from the other person. Regulate it. Have a conversation with them. Get a fix for it. Regulate it. Stop it. Stop them doing to you what they're doing. If you can, you regulate it. If you can't regulate it, then you should insulate yourself from it. And if that's not even possible, you should isolate from it, from them. So how would you do that? Where is this in the scripture? We've already mentioned it. Make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man, thou shalt not go. That's isolation. Insulation, isolation may be necessary to prevent them from destroying you with their anger. So regulate it, insulate it, isolate it, whatever it takes to protect yourself from the anger of others. Before I quit, regulate. That's the part we've been talking about. Return good for evil. That's the best way to regulate it. But if that's not working, insulate and then isolate. Now, the next time we get together, I'm going to give you 5 biblical steps on how to overcome your own personal anger. They come right from the Bible. You remember that I mentioned to you moments ago that where you get counsel is really important, and that Jesus is the counselor. Listen to the counsel. So the next time we're together, what I'm hoping to do is to spend time with you on the basic steps that if you take them, you can overcome your own personal anger for now, for the future, for always, because God wants you to conquer. And if you do conquer anger, you'll have the first step towards learning how to get along with difficult people.
Do you ever wonder how to handle that difficult person in your life? David L. Johnston has a free ebook just for you, How to Handle Difficult People. Get the free ebook today by going to nothingbutthetruth.org/difficult.